Hello, welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Amanda Hayes. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Anna. Hello, everyone.
And this week we've been reading This Room of Leaves by Kate Grenville, or I should say Amanda has been reading. That was a bit misleading, wasn't it?
It was.
Amanda has been reading, and more about that in a moment. And first we'll talk book news. And this is an award I hadn't heard of, but Simon Savage posted about it because he's been a judge in the debut category, but the HWA Crown Awards long list was announced for historical fiction. And so I thought I'd mention it, because the long list sounds amazing, but also because the book that we're discussing is historical fiction, sort of. So it's a bit topical. So this is the Crown Awards for historical fiction. The best historical fiction long list includes City of Girls, which we did, by Elizabeth Gilbert, I think we read, did we?
You read it with Annie.
Which I think I read with Annie on the podcast. It includes The Shadow King by Maza Mengiste, or Mengiste, which is the Ethiopian book that we have talked about that's long listed for the Booker Prize. And the debut long list, which looked really good as well, includes You Will Be Safe Here by Damien Barr.
Oh, fantastic.
Which we loved, and we did that on the podcast earlier this year. The Confessions of Franny Langton by Sarah Collins, which I really want to read, and that has been, I think that's been in other long lists as well this year, and I just haven't got to it yet. The Seven or Eight Deaths of Stella Fortuna by Juliet Grahams, which again sounds amazing and haven't got to it. And it includes How We Disappeared by Jing Lee.
Another one we did.
Which we did on the podcast as well. Was that earlier this year or even last year,
it
maybe?
It might have been last year.
Yeah, and we loved that. So that's another one we recommend. And also American Spy by Lauren Wilkinson, which is a Cold War spy thriller, but that has really caught my eye.
Sounds very interesting.
Yes, I've had it on my list and I just have never got around to buying it. So I just thought I'd mention that. That's the HWA Crown's long lists, and that was the fiction and also the debut fiction, and they have a non-fiction section as well, but that will be one to watch. So on to our book of the week, and this week we're discussing A Room Made of Leaves by Kate Grenville. So correction, I think I've been calling it House of Leaves and This Room of Leaves and all sorts of things. I apologise. Kate Grenville is a very renowned, highly esteemed Australian author. She's the author of 15 books, including in 2001 The Idea of Perfection, which won the then Orange Prize for fiction, and in 2006 The Secret River, which won the Commonwealth Writers Prize and was shortlisted for the then, as it was then, Man Booker Prize. She's based in Sydney, and she previously worked in the film industry and also lived in London and Paris, and has taught at the University of Sydney and received numerous honorary doctorates and academic sort of recognition. She also plays the cello, which is interesting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm always interested when writers cross over with music and how that plays out. I think having that ear for music does come through sometimes in how they listen to and observe people and then are able to capture dialogue.
And perhaps describe sounds as well.
Yes, that's right. So The Secret River, which was probably, I think, her best known work.
I would say so.
I would say, was based on her great-great-great-grandfather's story. So he was a convict who was sent to Australia in 1806, and she started learning about his story, and that made her confront Australia's colonial past, and in particular a massacre that had occurred, I think, around the Hawkesbury River region in New South Wales. And that book was, very successful and was adapted for stage and screen, and including an amazing stage adaptation that we saw at the Adelaide Festival a couple of years ago.
And it was set in a quarry. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Just unforgettable, wasn't it? And I have to confess, I saw that and was very moved by it and wowed by it. And having seen it, I have not gone back to read the book. So I'm probably one of the few people who's never read The Secret River. She's followed that up with books The Lieutenant and Sarah Thornhill, and then some nonfiction. So she wrote a book about her mother called Our One Life, My Mother's Story, which was really highly...
I read that one and I really enjoyed it, because what was interesting about that is often biographies are written about famous or noteworthy people, and she wrote a biography about her mother, who was in some ways an ordinary woman but also quite extraordinary and a little bit ahead of her time. It was just very interesting.
Yeah, I can imagine her mother would be a formidable woman.
Yeah, she sounded like it. But, you know,
but
she was sort
of time
punching
well.
Against the constraints of being a woman in those days.
Yes. And she's written books about writing as well, which, again, I've heard authors reference those quite often. And she's been made an Order of Australia in 2018. So that's Kate Grenville. Her latest novel, which I safe to say there's been quite a lot of anticipation for this book, is A Room Made of Leaves. And this is inspired by the woman Elizabeth MacArthur, who was the wife of John MacArthur, who was a wool baron in Sydney in the 1800s, I want to say. And so John MacArthur is obviously the very well-known figure from history, and Kate Grenville was intrigued by his wife Elizabeth, and she said that she read some letters from Elizabeth from the time that she'd obviously coming from Devon and then being thrust into this completely different world in Sydney. And Kate Grenville thought, well, I wonder what she would write back home in her letters. And of course, the letters are very, they give nothing away. They're very impersonal, very polite, sort of everything's fine.
Yeah.
And Kate was thinking, but knowing what John MacArthur's reputation and the upheaval and him being a bullying sort of character, there must have been so much more going on behind the scenes. And then there was another settler called William Dawes, who was an astronomer, and Elizabeth MacArthur wrote about looking at the stars, or him teaching her something about the stars, and then she didn't, it was harder than she thought, and she wrote, "I blush at my error." So Kate Grenville thought, wow, here's something dramatic in the all this bland sort of letter. And so she thought, maybe there's more to it than meets the eye. And anyhow, she was inspired to write, sort of reinvent the story of Elizabeth MacArthur, and present it as a memoir that Elizabeth left in a tin box in a house that somehow Kate Grenville has ended up with, which is a fiction, and you know that that's a fiction from, you know, when you go into the book, I think, I'm assuming.
Yes, you do.
And so she's playing with the idea of false stories and how the story people hear might erase the truth because it's not telling you the whole story. And indeed, in the way that women's voices have been silenced through history. And also there's a bigger story in Australia about the silencing of Aboriginal people and how their stories haven't been told or haven't been heard. So the history that we read about going back to the 1700s or the 1800s is really all written by white people.
Yeah, so there are two points about that. One is that history is written by the, quotes, victors.
Mm.
So it's, you know, has a certain take on it. And the other thing in terms of the Indigenous history of Australia is they have an oral tradition, and the colonists effectively destroyed that tradition. So there isn't even a counterbalance, if you like, to the colonial history.
Well, I suppose with the Aboriginal people, the other way they tell their stories and history is through art.
Yes.
And paintings, even in cave paintings, if going back many thousands of years. So, and even that is being destroyed in some areas. So it is really hard to keep hold of it. So this is A Room Made of Leaves. It's been described as a stunning literary achievement by The Guardian. Claire Wright has said that Elizabeth MacArthur has become a luminescent golden woman for our times. And the Saturday paper said it was elegant and meticulously crafted. So I haven't read it.
Yes, I need to know why, Anna.
I know. So I'm sort of waiting for Amanda to persuade me or to convince me. But I just think I have so many books to read.
Yeah.
I I do want to read Kate Grenville just because of her reputation, and I love her as a, you know, when you hear her speak and as an intellect.
Oh, she's very articulate.
Really, really interesting woman. But the story of Elizabeth MacArthur somehow doesn't interest me, and I feel terrible saying that, but I'm just – it's not that I've read all white colonial history, but I feel like I've probably read enough for a while that I can, you know, read some other stories of Australia. So that's probably just for the time being, you know, I'm not needing that story, or maybe I do need it. Amanda might persuade me otherwise. And also the, I mean, this again can be overcome when you get going in a book, but I don't like the idea of the memoir that mixes fact and fiction, and the idea that it's presented as a memoir but you know that it's not a memoir. Yeah. And I'm sure that once you're, you know, 10 pages in, you kind of can get over that pretty quickly. But on the whole, I don't like the sort of real – placing the real life into fiction. But again, I would trust Kate Grenville to be an author who could – get me past that. But yes, I just haven't been sort of tempted yet. But Amanda, tell me, should
okay,
I read it?
Anna, well, I'm going to start by saying I think I have a pretty good grasp of your reading taste, and I don't think this is the one for you, Anna, for the reasons you've actually mentioned.
Right.
So I would give this book a mixed review. There were some aspects of the book that I really appreciated and did enjoy, and whereas there were some features of the book that I found almost mildly irritating, to be honest. So I'll start with the positive notes. It was, on the whole, it was an engaging story, and I did want to know what happened. So yes. I read it quite quickly. It was easy to read in that sense.
Mm.
She has a good ability to pace the story, so there's always something you want to turn the page
yes.
for. So I did appreciate that. And she is the consummate wordsmith in a way. There are some absolutely beautiful descriptions of the Australian wildlife and bush. And one of my favourite was she talks about a stone overhang and she says, with a fraying underside, soft as cake, that glowed yellow. And it just makes you imagine the moss, you know, growing under rocks. And so things like that, I thought, how yeah. amazing that she captured that so perfectly. The other thing I think was interesting and I did like is that history of women in Australia has not been given as much attention as the history of the males.
Yes.
And so it was really interesting to sort of try and imagine what it would have been like for someone like Elizabeth MacArthur.
Well, and that's why I feel bad that I haven't been interested to read it.
Yeah,
because
I know.
I feel as if I should want to read.
I know what you mean.
The sort of story that hasn't been told.
Well, one thing it did make me think of and made me chuckle a bit because it takes me back to school, but I remember in Australian history we read Anne Summers' Damned Whores and God's Police.
Oh, right.
And I would say Elizabeth MacArthur was definitely God's police right. in this kind of story.
Yeah.
She was a bit of a goody-goody and I guess she was of her time. On the flip side, the things that I struggled with a bit were that John MacArthur has been described variously as a sociopath, aggressive, ruthless, and he's portrayed in the book as he's so odious. To me, he came across as a caricature.
Right.
I just couldn't...
There was no nuance.
I didn't understand him. Yeah. There was not enough nuance, not enough subtlety. He may or may not have been, I don't know, a repugnant sort of person, but he must have somehow been clever or canny
yeah.
to achieve what he achieved. And the way he was portrayed in the book was that he was so obsessed with his own status that he was easily manipulated. So Elizabeth would just say, oh, and, you know, plant this seed and be able to manipulate him. And I just thought it was a bit...
So almost like a buffoon.
Yeah. Sort of, yeah. I mean, I know there are real life examples of yeah. people like that in the world.
Yeah, but they're not that easily manipulated.
It didn't
usually.
Ring true to me.
Yeah.
He was just, to me, he was completely flat.
Yes.
And I know the book was more about her, but a big part of her life was interacting with him, obviously. And the scenes where they engaged, I just couldn't get into them. I didn't... So that was probably for me the thing that detracted from the book the most.
It sounds almost like wishful thinking.
Yeah, and she paints Elizabeth MacArthur as this incredibly intelligent woman, which she may well have been, but she was just able to so easily manipulate her husband.
Well, there must have been elements. I've heard Kate Grenville speaking about it. There must have been at least some element of Elizabeth managing him, if not manipulating. She must, because for the marriage to survive and for her to survive and live in that time, she must have
found a way
to make the marriage work.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean she was the one who was holding the reins of power. That might be too much of a stretch.
Yeah, I just thought his character didn't ring true to me at all. So that detracted a little bit for me. And I did hear an interview of Kate Grenville talking about this book, and she makes the point that you cannot write about Australian colonial history without addressing what happened, and that's absolutely true. So she does, I think, put some of her modern thoughts about this into Elizabeth's head, and I'm just not so sure that she would have thought like that. So she talks about
we just don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
but that would be jarring. I think if you're reading it and it sounds like a modern woke kind of sensibility.
Yes, it was. It was a bit like, oh, I acknowledge that I'm on stolen land. You know, that kind of thing. And I think I know it's true, but did people actually think like that back then? I don't know. And it sort of seemed to me that it was Kate Grenville inserting those thoughts into Elizabeth MacArthur's head. And
I wish we did know.
But I
know what you mean, the tone that it might strike, where we think, well, that sounds very modern and that sounds like what we might say today, but it might not ring the right note.
It didn't quite sit right. It was like these few bits that popped out where it felt like Kate Grenville thought, oh, I better make these points to make it more acceptable.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could well be wrong, but that's how it read to me. The one thing she does do really well, though, she does make you think about, and you alluded to this when you were introducing her, truth and storytelling.
Yes.
Because how do we really know what it was like for women? What was it like for Indigenous people back then? And she does reference the Battle of Parramatta, and through Elizabeth MacArthur's eyes, when her husband is describing it to her, she's questioning it, saying, how could that be so? Why would the Indigenous people attack in broad daylight like that when they don't normally behave that way? And, you know, she's successfully planting the seed that what we read may not be the truth. Yeah, and I think in some ways it plays into the modern world where, you know, we are fed lies and propaganda sometimes, and, you know, that it's not always the truth.
There's always another side,
isn't
there? Yeah,
exactly. So she shines a light on that,
I think. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was A Room Made of Leaves by Kate Grenville, and apologies, listeners, that I haven't been able to read it, but it was just impossible to fit in and I was waiting on Amanda's word. So there we go. But do let us know if you've read it. I know lots of people who have been reading this.
I'll be really interested to hear what other people think about this book.
Yeah.
Really interested.
Well, let us know. So you can email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com with your views on Kate Grenville's new novel. So that was A Room Made of Leaves. And next week, Annie and I are reading Sisters by Daisy Johnson, which I haven't yet. It is meant to be coming out, but I haven't been able to track it down yet here in Adelaide. Hopefully any day now. And Amanda, we're reading How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. And we're also reading Summer by Ali Smith.
Yes, and we're also reading Anna Kim Ji-yong, born 1982.
Yes.
Yes,
by Cho Nam Ju, and that's translated by Jamie Chang. And so this is part of our Women in Translation Month binge. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, you can rate and review us on iTunes, and that helps people find the podcast. So thank you. And you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go, email, as I said, booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Instagram Litzy, and Twitter at A. Bailey Karras. And Amanda?
I'm on Instagram at Amanda L. Hayes 99.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye.